This morning's public reading from the Word of God is found in Jeremiah this morning, chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. I'm going to be reading verses 19 to 31 in our hearing. Jeremiah chapter 4, thus completing chapter 4, verses 19 to the end. My bowels, I am pain at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled, and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. And I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. For thus saith the Lord, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, and will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. The whole city shall flee for the noise of the horsemen and bowmen. They shall go in thickets and climb up upon the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwell therein. And when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Though thou clothest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold, though thou rentest thy faint with painting, in vain shall thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise thee, they will seek thy life. For I have heard a voice as of a woman in travail, and the anguish of her that bringeth forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion, that bewaileth herself, that spreadeth her hand, saying, Woe is me now, for my soul is wearied because of murders. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Wow. For those of you who know better, and for those of you who don't know, this portion of Jeremiah that I just got done reading in your hearing contains within it apocalyptic prophetic utterance. Did you catch it? Did you pick up on it? Apocalyptic prophetic literature is the same genre of literature that is found in the book of Daniel quite extensively. And smatterings of it are found in some of the writings of the major and the minor prophets, and is found exclusively in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, that last book in your Bible. Apocalyptic prophetic literature is very graphic, very dramatic, very it has a dynamic dimension to it. It shows intensity. It has heightened drama. It is language that is full, listen carefully, of exaggeration in order to prove a point. It's a type of genre that was very popular in the Middle East, 200 years before Jesus and 200 years thereon after, and then it died out. much of the writings of the Essenes, Dead Sea Scrolls, that type of historical background and peoples, wrote a lot of apocalyptic literature of doomsday and the utter collapse of the world using figurative symbolic language like the sun being darkened, blood being turned, the moon being turned to blood, the stars or the constellations falling to the earth, mountains trembling, islands disappearing, the earth being shaken to its foundation. That is apocalyptic prophetic literature, which is found here. Now, if you read this, if you look at the very, very beginning, when I begin to read this back in verse 19, you see the prophet's internal agony. My bowels, I am pain at my very heart. The ancients believed that all of our emotions originated in our gut, stomach, and our intestines. And that's why in ancient writings like here, Jeremiah is referring to the wrenching of his innards in this pain and in this distress that's coming upon him as he sees the Babylonian hordes coming upon tiny Judah to take a spoil. He's in agony, and therefore he uses such graphic language. My bowels, basically my inner gut pains me, my very heart, my very inner being. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard. What have we heard? Oh, my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. That's what's being heard. The watchmen on the tower can see the dust rising on the horizon. They can see the banners. They can see the Babylonian chariots and the auxiliary soldiers coming over the crest of the hills, aiming towards Jerusalem, and the sound of the ram's horn blowing, the sound of attack, the sound of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Now I'm going to show you something by context. Notice first off, he says the whole land is spoiled. Well, the Babylonians are not attacking Native American Indians. They're not attacking the French. They're not attacking the barbarians of Ireland and England. They're not attacking the Arabians. They're not attacking the Aborigines in Australia. They're attacking Judah. So the context here is not a worldwide conflagration. We're talking about a local battle. Nebuchadnezzar coming upon Judah. Okay? The whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. So the living quarters are being destroyed. Destruction upon destruction is cried. The whole land is spoiled. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? How long am I going to see the banners flying and the trumpets blowing, whether in the city or coming over the hill with the Babylonian army? For my people is foolish. They are not they have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have not understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. And beloved, how many in the modern day church are described here in verse 22? Not only the average Joe on the street, who's an outright pagan, but many in the professing church. God can say the same thing. God can post those words over the lintel of most churches in America. I beheld the earth. Now notice, I beheld the earth. And lo, it was without form and void in the heavens, and they had no light. That is apocalyptic prophetic genre. But the context is the land. Earth and land can be used simultaneously here. We're not talking about an earth-wide. And there are those who teach that in verse 23 here is where you find the gap theory between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, where a pre-Adamic race was totally destroyed. That's where all the dinosaurs were living. They were destroyed when the devil and the fallen demons were hurled upon this earth, and it resulted in a global flood that covered the entire globe. And later on, Noah's flood is not worldwide in nature, but it was a local catastrophe. That is found in the early teachings of the premillennial dispensational grandfathers of Darby, Schofield, and Company. And many teach that heresy today. There was no pre-Adamic race. There was no dinosaurs between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. This is not describing the void and the chaos that they claim is found in Genesis 1:2. This is talking about what's coming upon Judah in a certain style of literature that is graphic, dynamic, dramatic, intensified, and exaggerates. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. Well, there was not a refashioning of the land of Israel itself when Nebuchadnezzar came. This is describing the degree of destruction that he would bring. I beheld, and lo, there was no man. Well, we know Jeremiah survived. He survived all three invasions. So he's not contradicting himself. He's denoting the depopulation that Nebuchadnezzar was going to bring. And all the birds of the heaven have fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. Nebuchadnezzar was representing the fierce anger of the Lord and the face of the Lord. And thus hath the Lord said, the whole what? Land. Notice, land, earth, land, in context. We're not talking about a global warfare, but a local catastrophe. Shall be what? Desolate. Same language Jesus uses as he forecasted AD 70. Yet will I not make a full end. For this shall the earth mourn. Well, beloved, people in North America were not crying over Judah's invasion and deportation. We're still talking about the land and the people that were left. And the heavens above is be what? Black, apocalyptic, prophetic genre. Because I have spoken it and have purposed it, and will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. The whole city, now look, whole city, the earth, the whole land. Tie it all together in context, not picking and choosing. No cherry picking here. We're looking at the words used within context. Now, I'm taking my time on this because the gap theory is heresy. The gap theory is nothing but making an accommodation with the teaching of evolution to make Christians look scientific. It doesn't. It makes the church look stupid when you try to take the Bible and assimilate it with any form of evolutionary teaching. The whole city shall flee for the noise of the horsemen and the bowmen. They shall go into thickets and climb up upon the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwell therein. Well, people were left, and so was Jeremiah. This is the dynamics of this type of language. Heightened exaggeration, showing the whole system, the whole political religious system, is going to crash to the ground. And thus this language was very popular in describing a cataclysmic wipeout of society, culture, the state, and the temple. And when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Verse 30. Thou wilt clothe thyself with crimson and deckest thee with ornaments of gold. Though thou rentest thy face with paint, in vain shall they make thyself fair. So verse 30 is talking how some people were going to doll themselves up and deck themselves out to go out to the Babylonians to somehow, you know, sweet talk them, kiss a little kiss, see if they can kind of persuade Nebuchadnezzar to be a nice guy. Thy lovers will despise thee. They shall not seek thy life. Anyone that Judah was trying to make any type of an alliance to join their armies against the Babylonians, no matter how much pomp and circumstances that they put on for a good show, Israel's former allies, the ones whom they committed spiritual adultery, would not join in with them. For I have heard a voice of a woman in travail. Jesus uses the same terminology in the Olivet Discourse and the same terminology found in the book of Revelation. A woman giving birth, the birth pains, and the anguish as of her that bringeth forth her first son. The voice of the daughter of Zion that bewaileth herself, that spreadeth her hands, saying, Woe is me now, for my soul is weary because of murders. And so notice how even Jesus in the Olivet Discourse and John, who wrote the book of the Revelation, borrows extensively the imagery of the Old Testament when they spoke New Testament words and wrote the New Testament canon. May God choose to bless His word. Amen.